This is Jay Sekulow. Another ISIS attack, this time in Germany, and the GOP's first night of its convention, keeping America safe.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
ISIS has claimed responsibility for an attack on a German regional commuter train. A teenager armed with an axe and knife reportedly attacked passengers on a regional commuter train in the southeastern state of Bavaria on Monday night.
Now, several witnesses say they heard the attacker shout Allahu Akbar three times. When a passenger called police, officers say they also heard this in the background of that call.
Were you surprised when you started finding out about who this Mohamed Boulel is?
I might have been surprised by the fastness of his radicalization. But to put in new information, his uncle, regarding to AP, just said that he was indoctrinated by an Algerian ISIS member.
Algerian member of the Islamic State group.
Exactly.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They represent a threat that is not limited to the Middle East and is spreading rapidly. In fact, according to the FBI, ISIS is present in all 50 states.
America should not fear our enemies. In fact, we should clearly define our enemies, face them head on, and then defeat those that seek to threaten our country and our way of life.
The only way we're going to keep America safe is to have an elite military, all right? Made up of the warriors and prepared by the toughest training that we have to offer, supported by the best equipment and backed up by the nation, well, that puts those people in harm's way. The world outside of our borders is a dark place, a scary place. America is the light, and her people are the goodness that grows from that. She'll always be worth fighting for, and it was my greatest honor to fight for her every day of my adult life.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we've got a lot to talk about. Of course, first night of the Republican National Convention, keeping America safe was the theme, which was interesting because at the very same time that that took place, another terror attack, this time in Germany, ISIS recruited, ISIS individual involved. Three people in very critical condition, 15 injured. The three that are in critical condition, it's life and death kind of struggle medically going on for them right now. We also got word that the uncle of the truck driver who killed 84 people in the French Riviera says his nephew was indoctrinated about 2 weeks ago by an Algerian member of the Islamic State group in Nice, France. And this was as part of the questioning that the French authorities did. So you've had now basically back-to-back terror attacks. And then you had the shooting of the police officers. And then last night, of course, the first night of the Republican National Convention with some strong language on the issue of national security. Jordan, your reaction?
Yeah, especially I'd say from Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who has given these speeches and kind of remarks multiple times at conventions. I remember back in 2004 when the Republican convention was in New York following the 9/11 attacks, and the focus was on security and terrorism. So similar, though I think we're facing a different threat now under the same banner of Islamic radical extremism. And he was very direct to point out who the threat is and what we have to do to combat it, but also the threat posed by continuing the same failed policies. I tweeted that out last night because I think that was the contrast point. You can have more of the same with Hillary Clinton, more of the same strategy against ISIS, and by the way, another ISIS terror attack, as we said today in Germany, or you can have someone take a new approach like Donald Trump and people like Rudy Giuliani, who are rumored to be, he will be the head of an Islamic extremism committee at the White House, kind of a Islamic radical czar, if you will, to really take a look at what's happening in our own country.
Yeah. I'm going to play, do we have time to play it? Let's play Rudy Giuliani last night.
Donald Trump has said the first step in defeating our enemies is to identify them properly and see the connections between them so we can find them and catch them. To defeat Islamic extremist terrorists, we must put them on defense.
And part of that on defense is going to include destroying the caliphate. I'm going to talk about more of that when we come back from the break. And Logan, we'll take everybody's calls and comments. Well, your reaction to last night's convention. I think that'd be very important.
That's
for me.
Right.
We want to hear from you on this.
Phone lines are open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We're also broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. You can get your comments in that way as well.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Yeah. All right, welcome back. So the Republican National Convention is started. Let me give you a couple of issues. We're going to do the same thing on the Democratic Convention as well, and let's go through some platform issues as well. Let me tell you about Israel. Like the United States of America, the modern state of Israel is a country born from the aspirations for freedom and stands out among the nations as a beacon of democracy and humanity. Beyond our mutual strategic interests, Israel is likewise an exceptional country that shares our most essential values. It is the only country in the Middle East where freedom of speech and freedom of religion are found. They then went on in the actual language of the platform to reject the false notion that Israel is an occupier and specifically that the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement is anti-Semitic in nature and, as we've been saying, seeks to destroy Israel. So very strong language there. They're not calling for a two-state solution, interestingly. They want recognized and secure borders, but they dropped the call for a two-state solution, which so far has not worked. So very interesting on the issue of Israel. It says a strong and secure Israel is vital to the United States because we share overarching strategic interests and common values of democracy, equality, tolerance, and pluralism. All right, we're going to take your calls and your comments. We want to know this simple question. What is your reaction to last night's Republican National Convention, night one? We'll also talk about these attacks. Now, there's a known link between ISIS in Germany and the ISIS attack in Nice, France. Remember, they were trying to say, well, the Nice attack, there was no evidence of inspiration. Well, now we have it. And, of course, unfortunately, this was the case. It was ISIS radicalization. Took place very quickly, and I think that is symptomatic of a larger problem here. Jordan, you mentioned this the other day on air, that these people are being radicalized in ways we, you know, very quickly. They're very bizarre behavior they'll engage in and then get radicalized and then do the deed.
Yeah, they're not spending years in a madrasa in the middle of a desert somewhere, being indoctrinated to then carry out what amounts to suicide attacks. Ultimately, right, you will be killed in an attack like this. The police are not going to just apprehend you. They are going to shoot to kill. And you know, in these situations, how are this happening? Well, I think what's happening is pretty clear. ISIS is recruiting individuals who are misguided,
yep,
who have criminal backgrounds, and may not be the best Muslims, and offering them in their own sick way a chance at redemption.
Yep.
See, if you're a Muslim like this, you don't attend mosque, you don't follow the Quran and Islamic law, you may have issues with your sexuality, you may have drug issues, you may eat pork, you may drink alcohol.
Yep.
The list goes on.
This guy did.
They give you a way to heaven still, a way to eternity through carrying out a horrible deed like this. So if you're a troubled person, as this individual was described as, and I'm sure this yeah. young 17-year-old from Afghanistan also probably had a troubled past to get that far as yeah. a 17-year-old to carry out a such a violent style
attack.
Three
people, life and death struggle right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and I mean, with an axe
yeah.
going in Germany. So when I put all that together, I think that's how you're profiling these quick radicalizations. They don't have to take
years. I still say this, it was a huge security failure because as a 19-ton truck was coming down the road in Nice, they should have looked inside the truck and seen what it is. Having said that, there yeah. is a lot of questions about the convention coming in. And again, we want your comments. What were your reaction to the Republican National Convention yesterday? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
And did you watch? And is there a reason you didn't watch? Even call us 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah,
I'm curious what the overnight numbers are. I know a lot of people are playing the clip of Donald's entrance. They're playing clips from Melania.
That was very WWE.
It was very. I mean, people have already. I just watched a video that was his entrance to the Undertaker's music. It was very compelling. It was more compelling that way.
Yeah.
But
then the Melania Trump situation.
Right. So this morning, the morning shows have all been dominated by the news that a couple paragraphs in this are very similar to the speech that Michelle Obama gave. A couple words changed out type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's dominating the media. And what we're kind of saying is that, look, it dominated a lot of the people that called in. So phone lines are open, folks, because that's not something we're really going to address much on here, other than the fact that saying, look, the person who wrote it wasn't her. And I'm sure, look, I think she delivered actually a very good speech, something that I think a lot of people weren't surprised or were surprised with because they haven't heard a lot from her. She did a solid job, and it's being overshadowed by these few paragraphs.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate.
It's a bad writer. It's someone who they're double downing, saying they're not going to do anything about it. But this is somebody who did it. I mean, this is certainly not her going in there saying I'm Googling Michelle Obama's speech and copy pasting it. Now it could have been someone doing that.
Because
but
here's
it wasn't
what
her.
Happens. I mean, in this kind of speech writing, this is what happens. Melania had the thematics of what she wanted to say about her husband and her family. That's what she wanted to do. She lays that out. And then speechwriters help craft messages.
Right.
What happened here was evidently, and Jordan and Thana both worked on the Hill and for presidential campaigns, staffers insert things. And was this the horrible error is, in fact, that it has really overshadowed what was otherwise a very compelling message. Let me get Than's reaction first to this. But again, folks, I mean, I don't want to really spend an hour on this. I mean, because I don't think that's fair to what happened last night. There were some really strong speeches last night.
ISIS is attacking and these things are happening. You know what? This is not important.
Right. But Than, your reaction overall?
Well, I think it's a shame. I think the focus should be on Melania Trump's speech, which I think virtually everybody thought was a very solid speech. Let me say this very clearly, because I've written these types of speeches. One of the things that you do when you prepare these speeches is you go back and you look at similar speeches that were successful, including Michelle Obama's. I'm sure that's what happened here, Jay. The similarities are very clear. Honestly, if I were Donald Trump, I would fire this staffer because I understand he wants to be loyal, but this was very, very clearly a staff error. This was not Melania Trump's error. This was a staff error. I think it will be a non-story tomorrow, but if he would deal with it now, I think it'd be a non-story right now.
Yeah, I think at most Melania Trump's involvement, and I've worked for a convention as well, so for three presidential campaigns, but also for a convention that won in New York in 2004, is that Melania may have said, well, they may have shown her some previous speeches and said, oh, I like that, these parts from Michelle Obama's. And whoever then took that and put it into the text that would be at the teleprompter took it basically right from there, made those minor edits, which everybody knows gets you in trouble in school and in speeches when you're a politician. This has happened to politicians before. It's just a shoddy work by whoever ended up putting the final touches on that speech, because I'm not sure that going through the review process, if you didn't know it came from that, that you would have remembered Michelle Obama's speech from 8 years ago.
No,
very important at the time, but then they lose importance very quickly over the years.
It took a while for people to even pick that up. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. Calls are coming.
All right, Alex is calling on line one from Carmel, California.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Jay. Thanks so much for what you guys do. I really enjoyed listening to the convention yesterday.
Okay.
I was really moved by the gentleman from Benghazi and the other gentleman that fought for us.
Yep.
And I it was just wonderful to hear all the feedback for support for the vets of this country that fought for so much. That
let me play Marcus Luttrell's bite, who fought in Afghanistan, the lone survivor. Let's play that for everybody.
To the next generation, this is for you. Your war is here. You don't have to go searching for it. Your people are afraid. I stand among you walking. I was allowed to walk with giants, all right? And now we're looking for the next generation of giants. Who among you will love something more than you love yourself, all right? Who among you are going to step up and take the fight to the enemy? Because it's here.
Well, he's absolutely correct, and Alex, I appreciate your call. And let me also say this. In the platform of the Republican Party, we consider the administration's deal with Iran to lift international sanctions and make hundreds of billion dollars available to the mullahs a personal agreement between the president and his negotiating partners and non-binding on the next president of the United States. And it was not a treaty. Remember that. And there's nothing in writing. So I think it looks like to me they're kind of double down on this.
Yeah, I mean, on the Iranian situation, you've got now a much quicker path to a nuclear-weaponized Iran. And that's what we found out through these documents. And, you know, there's a lot of news breaking in the last 24, 48, 72 hours that shouldn't be missed. And I think we're going to have to take the next few days and keep highlighting non-convention stories as well, like the Iranian.
I think let's talk about what happened in Iran, because, I mean, this is the reports came out really starting about 48 hours ago that on other deals, it looks like that they will be able to develop a nuclear weapon under the agreement within 10 years.
And they said this is the only deal that was not released to the public at all, the only side deal to the joint plan of cooperation. This is the only side deal. And this side deal basically gives the green light for Iran to replace old centrifuges with very new high-tech centrifuges that could be used to create a nuclear weapon in about a decade.
Yep.
So if they follow the rules even of this agreement, which they haven't done a great job of doing already, but even if they do, they can look forward and say, well, within a decade, we can legitimately, under international agreement, whatever you want to call this, but very difficult then for the UN to come back and say, now you're a violator and we're going to bomb you. And those sites, because they are allowed
legal authority.
They have the authority. They've got the document to show we can put in those high operating reactors and replace our old ones in just about 10 years.
It's incredible. And the president gets away with it. What is the reaction on Facebook and Periscope right now, Logan? Just quickly, and then we'll go to a break.
You know, a lot of people are still kind of just chiming in about the RNC. I'd say that's the majority of the topic right now, but we are obviously moving on that. And a lot of people, again, saying, you know, this came up from Lily. You're not hearing anything right now in the news about the attacks happening, the attack in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these things are coming into play.
Because of the conventions. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to cover all these issues. By the way, we've got an email that's out right now on the issue of genocide. I was in meetings in our office. As you know, I was in Washington in our offices Sunday and Monday. The fact is that we want the administration to be legally obligated to now engage on the. They've called it genocide. Now they need legally act, by the way, in the Republican Party platform. And we'll go over the Democratic one next week, too, because they both actually cover this. They call it genocide, what's going on there, but we need action. Go to ACLJ.org. Remember, we're in that matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Let me play for you Joni Ernst talking about the threat that was going on. It is going on in the United States on Middle East terror. Very strong statements on that. I'll read one in a moment from the platform, but let's go ahead and read that. Play
they
that.
Represent a threat that is not limited to the Middle East and is spreading rapidly. In fact, according to the FBI, ISIS is present in all 50 states.
So that follows a Republican platform that says the Republican administration will restore our nation's credibility. We must stand up for our friends, challenge our foes, and destroy ISIS. Hezbollah, controlling over 100,000 missiles in Lebanon, must be isolated and Lebanon's independence restored. Then they say over the last 4 years, we've seen the rise of the murderous fanaticism in the form of ISIS, the so-called Islamic State. It reaches now, extends beyond the Middle East to virtually every continent. ISIS has brought ancient butchery into the 21st century and calls for the destruction of ISIS. And I do think you need to destroy the caliphate. You destroy the caliphate, that's going to go a long way in dealing with this issue. We had a lot of calls that are coming in. But, Jordan, there was a particular soundbite you thought we should play.
Patricia Smith, whose son, Sean Smith, was killed in the Benghazi attacks. So part of the theme, of course, of Make America Safe Again is also those who serve our country, not just in uniform, but in diplomatic functions. He was a technical officer who, she said, wasn't even sure exactly what he was doing at this special Benghazi compound.
Right.
Maybe had a higher role than his mother even knew, likely. But she spoke very directly about how she felt about, and we know this from dealing with the State Department, and not even a loss in life situation. But take a listen, Bite 7. She addressed the RNC last night. I thought this was very powerful because this is coming from a mother who lost her son directly, Bite 7.
We lost four brave Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice for the country they chose to serve, and the American people lost the truth. For all of this loss, for all of this grief, for all of the cynicism, the tragedy in Benghazi has wrought upon America, I blame Hillary Clinton. I blame Hillary Clinton personally for the death of my son. That's personally.
Strong language to blame Hillary Clinton personally, not saying she had a role, but personally for the death of her son. And then take a listen to this. This goes to the Clinton truth issue. And again, after these meetings with the State Department we've been through, she was lied to directly to her face.
The State Department, folks, we would go to these State Department meetings, especially during the Saeed Ebedini matter.
Yep.
And they would ask our clients, family, to do things that literally put them in life dangerous situations. Yep. And Jordan and I would be in these meetings with yelling about, at very, very aggressive, saying, why in the world would you do this? So we have this, we know the frustration of the State Department.
I remember once right before going on the O'Reilly Factor about this, getting a call from, I won't name that, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, who's still there, nasty to me.
Saying, don't go on TV.
Don't go on saying that we're doing a bad job. I mean, they were doing a horrendous job.
Yes.
And it took years to get those Americans home. Ultimately, thankfully, they didn't. Unfortunately, that was because we gave Iran $100 billion and we gave them the path to a nuclear bomb. So not exactly the best negotiating. It's pretty easy when you put that much money on the table and a nuclear weapon. But take a listen to this, because this goes to the lying. Hillary Clinton lying to people directly in their eyes, including a grieving mother. Bite 8, and at the ceremony when her son's casket is there, take a listen, Bite 8.
In an email to her daughter shortly after the attack, Hillary Clinton blamed it on terrorism. But when I saw Hillary Clinton at Sean's coffin ceremony just days later, she looked me squarely in the eye and told me a video was responsible. Since then, I have repeatedly asked Hillary Clinton to explain to me the real reason why my son is dead. I'm still waiting.
That's a pretty haunting and a pretty significant indictment of the leadership of Hillary Clinton and particularly the State Department.
People are attacking her.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Matthews is coming out and attacking
the mother of the victim
here. That's how partisan these conventions become. But the truth is, these were not people that wanted to be speaking. She'd much rather have her son at home and not be involved in a Republican convention than giving remarks about Hillary Clinton and whoever at a stage like this. And that's what's important to know is these people are not looking for fame. They wish they had their son at home.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Peggy, who's calling from Minneapolis. You're
hey,
on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to comment on last night what I saw when Mr. Trump came out and he said the few words that he said, and then he repeated them again. I thought, oh, boy, well, okay. And but then, you know what, as I thought about that, I thought, this man is very wise. Because the commentary was that he's continuing along the same lines that he won the...
Right. There's one thing that became... I mean, he broke the convention normal rules, which is the candidate does not speak. But, Logan, talk about the opening, because, I mean, you're in the media end of the business. I mean, it was a dramatic...
It was a professional wrestling-style entrance professional sports-style, feeling general, like boxing or basketball, any of these sports that they draw mainstream television attention. And, look, it got the attention exactly what he wanted. No one can look at it and go, it was not well-produced. It looked awesome. It's just whether you think that's presidential or not is whether the discussion is. I thought it was a lot of fun. It definitely brought a lot of eyeballs to it, and I've seen plenty of things going around.
There's goofy stuff at these intros. Not goofy, but I remember.
Saw Mitt Romney raising from.
But you go back to President Bush and Fred Thompson had narrated this video, which was at some point serious, but it ended with a baseball coming at you. I mean, it's to kind of highlight who they are, and baseball was a big part of his
life. It is the word convention. Remember that.
Yeah, and Donald Trump is the show business guy, celebrity guy, as well as business guy. So I think just like a baseball representing someone like George Bush, President Bush, this kind of intro represents Donald Trump.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take call one.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Lindsay, who's calling from Boise, Idaho. You're on the air.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have donated to your matching challenge, and I support you guys prayerfully and financially.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Now, Logan mentioned a couple times the WWE-style entrance for Trump, but I thought I would point out that Trump and Vince McMahon, the owner of WWE, happened to be very close friends, and
that's
Vince McMahon is the self-proclaimed puppet master who, when you tell your audience to boo, they boo. When he tells them to clap, they cheer. And he prides himself in being able to manipulate the moods of an audience.
Well, I mean,
and I'm sure Trump
that's media.
I mean, absolutely. And yes, there have been the connections with the Trumps and the McMahons since the late 80s. Trump hosted two WrestleManias, WrestleMania 4 and 5 in Atlantic City.
I didn't know that.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He was in the Hall of Fame in 2013, a few years ago.
There you go.
He shaved Vince McMahon's head in 2007, the Battle of the Billionaires. Took a Stone Cold Stunner after that, but he deserved it.
So he's actually wrestled.
Yeah, he's been in the ring.
So this is who he is.
Yeah. He's an entertainer. It's fun. And look, Vince, love him or hate him, is a Republican. He's already endorsed him. And is a smart guy, another genius billionaire. So you have to throw up, they're very similar in that, highly competitive, so much so tonight, the WWE is hosting their biggest event of the year, which is a big surprise, which was the WWE draft. And I think there's a little bit of competition going on between the McMahons and the Trumps of who's going to get the bigger ratings.
Well, there you go, a Trump-McMahon match.
And I don't know
ratings.
What Trump watching, I'm going to be honest.
Okay,
I think
I'm going
to DVR the convention and watch the draft.
All right,
we're
back here for another 30 minutes. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign, folks. We're doing well, but we could use your support. Just go to aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. We've got an email coming out on the genocide issue. We encourage you to support our work on that front, aclj.org. And multiple ways to get the broadcast.
That's right. If you want to enjoy more, not just wrestling talk, I assure you, you can listen on aclj.org, facebook.com/jseculo, or on Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow Broadcasting Live. They're archived later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Fight for the right to live in freedom.
Yeah. It's become systematic. So here's what you got. You got the first night of the Republican convention done. You have a, at the same time, terrorist attack in Germany. That was ISIS, not only inspired, ISIS trained 17-year-old Afghan refugee to Germany. They've let in a million refugees. This happened. Three people seriously injured, life and death situation right now. Nice, France, we've got the connection on the individual there, was radicalized 3 weeks ago by an Algerian member of ISIS. At the same time, the Republican National Committee, and we're going to do the same with the Democratic platform, has come out very strong against terrorism and also against genocide. In fact, in the actual platform, it says we're deeply concerned that in the face of genocide against Christian communities and others in cities like Erbil, they're receiving no financial support from either the U.S. government or the U.N. to help with displaced persons and urban refugees. Their survival is sustained only by private charities. This must be changed immediately. Defeating ISIS means more than pushing back its fighters while abandoning its victims. It must mean aiding those who have suffered the most and doing so before they starve. We are doing exactly, working on that front legally at ACLJ.org. So very interesting that has really played out like this. And again, we appreciate people praying for our team as we're working on this genocide issue. But there was in the platform. We'll go through the Democratic platform next week. Let's go ahead and take calls at 800-684-3110.
Sue's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, Sue.
Hi, thank you.
You're on the air.
I have a question.
Yep.
Well, I have a couple of questions. And first, I'll start by saying I loved the speakers last night.
Okay.
I'm a total Trump supporter from day one. And my first question is, he was preaching to me as part of the choir. I mean, all the speakers. Do you think that Dems and independents are paying attention?
Good question. So let me go to Than first, and then we'll get everybody else's comments, too. Than, did it reach the middle?
Yeah, we're going to see, Jay. I think they did two things that were a good effort to reach the middle. One, the theme. I mean, making America safe again, that is something that is going to speak across party aisles. It needs to be the number one issue on both sides of the aisle. But then the other thing is the conversation you just had with Logan, the entertainment value here. That is something that is generally not present at either Republican or Democratic conventions. And I think Donald Trump probably did a better job than any recent nominee at that last night. You know, it's not exactly my speed, Jay, but it probably does get more eyeballs on the convention, a better chance for him to get his message out. So I think you'll see that in the nights ahead, and probably especially on Thursday when he speaks.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing that a lot. I was on my social media today and last night, and the people that were posting that saying they were watching it was pretty shocking. Most of my liberal friends were even watching it.
Yeah.
Now, they may be watching it for the wrong reasons, but they're watching it to criticize and go after it, but they're still watching it.
Which
so I think you are
going
to have that. You know, you have to think about that. It's sort of like the situation when one of these big, you know, films is released that's so one-sided. A lot of times the other side never sees it, so what does it matter?
Right.
I don't think you're having that with this. I think you're actually seeing the fact that they're being fully exposed to what's happening.
So is that, Jordan, because as you've said, you've worked on a couple conventions. So this orchestration of the media side of it was to reflect the candidate.
Yes, yes. I mean, you want to, again, it's whether it's the celebrities, and they were short speeches, and everybody delivered a fine speech. It wasn't like there was anything so shocking. I think, honestly, the sheriff from Milwaukee probably is the most direct when it comes to the racial division issue in our country and addressing Black Lives Matter. And I think he is a good vehicle to do that on a night where you're focusing on making America safe again. You can't just focus on terrorism. You also have to focus on domestic issues here in our own country, that outside of the Islamic terrorism threat, which is also the threat from the racial divisions which are happening now, and then causing, similar to the terrorism, these crazed individuals to take justice into their own hands in a warped way and attack police officers, which is a top concern, of course, in our country right now. So, I think overall, taking out the Melania speech issue, it was a pretty strong night. Liberals don't like it. Now, I see their reviews. Oh, it was horrible. It was this. It was that. That's, that means it's appealing right to the right people.
So, okay. That's
middle America.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're seeing on Facebook too, Logan?
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming close to a break here. But yeah, that's absolutely a fact. That's what I'm seeing. Pretty much through everyone. Everyone seems to have their eyeballs on it.
All right. We'll talk more. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110.
Thank you.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're going through the RNC platform. We'll do the same with the Democrats. A Republican administration will restore our nation's credibility. I read you that one. I read you the one on genocide. On refugees, this is what the Republicans say. As the director of the FBI has noted, it is not possible to vet fully all potential refugees. To ensure our national security, refugees who cannot be carefully vetted cannot be admitted to the country, especially those whose homelands have been breeding grounds for terrorism. We do know that the attack yesterday in Afghanistan, was an Afghan refugee in Germany, 17 years old, tried to kill 17 people, seriously injured three, and we now have the confirmation that the Nice attack was not only ISIS-inspired, but ISIS-led, because the individual there was basically radicalized over a three-week period. I'm going to also read for you in the next segment an email from an FBI source on the Omar Martinez situation in Orlando, and you will say there is a complete lack of credibility in our national security and intelligence gathering infrastructure. But I want to save that for the next segment. Again, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. What are we getting on air? Through comments, rather, Logan.
Yeah, a lot of comments have come in, and it's a lot of convention talk. You think about that. But, you know, this would come from Alice. You know, never thought ISIS would go after these kind of situations. And it does see these, you know,
this is more sort of effective.
Right. Lone wolf, kind of, not lone wolf, but one person who can go in and make a difference.
But here's what it is. They are not lone wolf. And maybe one person is the actor.
Right.
But what we're finding time and time again is that they were not, in fact, lone wolves. And what we're finding in the situation with Nice is, as you said earlier, Jordan, the radicalization could take place very quickly, really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, within days or within a couple of weeks. And I do believe it's because ISIS is targeting troubled Muslims or those with Islamic backgrounds. They are estranged from their families. So in this case, estranged from wife and children. And you know, in other cases, just violent people.
Yep.
People that just are not getting along. Sometimes it could be wives and husbands working together. Other times it's these estranged individuals. Bizarre behavior. Criminal behavior, yep. Even though if it's not terror-related, criminal. So they're violent. And that these are the people that ISIS preys upon because they are looking for some kind of redemption. As the family described, this person is very troubled. So they're looking for some way out of their troubles. Yep. And ISIS comes to you with their propaganda and says, you carry out this attack, you will die. And but hey, here's $100,000, by the way, for you to give to your family. So maybe they'll remember you in a more positive way. And you'll be going to heaven.
So they're buying, buying the terrorists. But interestingly, the attacker in Nice had an online fascination with the Islamic State. As these are investigating, more and more of this has come out. Fan, do you think it was effective yesterday on the national security issue? And we'll play some more bites. We'll get some more lined up. I thought it was pretty effective. Rudy Giuliani in particular.
Yeah, I do too. I agree, and specifically because it illustrates the misunderstanding that this administration has. I mean, you talk about what Jordan just talked about, how the recruiting process takes place. Just on Sunday, Jay, Secretary Kerry said that this mission was a success because the apparatus of ISIS is contained in Iraq and Syria. Well, that is a fundamental misunderstanding of how they are operating. I thought last night demonstrated that, and quite frankly, they tied it pretty successfully back to the administration that Hillary Clinton was a part of, including those two fighters who were a part of that Benghazi attack.
All right, let's go ahead and go right back to the phones. We'll take more calls as well, Logan.
Let's go to Cindy in Illinois.
Hey, Cindy.
Air, Cindy.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering if you could explain, at the beginning of the convention, they were trying to get a roll call.
Yeah.
What's the deal there? I mean,
was a bit of the campaign ruckus, I would call it. And that was a roll call convention on the rule adoption, and you needed technically seven states to call for an actual voice, not a voice vote, but actually casting ballots, so to speak. And it became political theater for about an hour, Jordan.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it didn't impact the main schedule and the primetime schedule of the convention. And again, everybody would say, you know, after this for a couple hours, once the convention starts, we won't talk about this anymore. And then once we talk, you know, then it's Melania's. And once we start tonight, no one's going to be talking about Melania's anymore. And then the one that will continue to get coverage will be, to some extent, Mike Pence. That's tomorrow night.
Right.
And then Donald Trump's final, you know, speech, that's the one that has legs. That's the one that continues on, because it will be directly contrasted to Hillary Clinton's. Mike Pence's will be contrasted, somebody says, to whoever Hillary Clinton picks, but we don't still know who that is. Ultimately, I believe that so far that ruckus that happened was more about actually not denying Donald Trump. Everyone said, even those involved in this ruckus, like Mike Lee, Senator from Utah, and former Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli of Virginia. Both of them said it was more about getting a closed primary process for Republicans next time around, which could be as soon as 2020 if Donald Trump doesn't win this election, so that you can have the independents and Democrats do that same-day crossover voting. And actually, Democrats are pretty good about that. They basically have closed primaries.
Yeah, so that part of it's that.
Hey, all right, let's go to Ross, who's calling in Silver Springs, Maryland.
Hi, Ross.
Hello, Jay. Thanks for your work.
Yep.
I give when I can. I don't have cable. I was watching last night on the big networks and also listening on C-SPAN FM. When Michael T. Flynn came to speak, all the big networks went into a huddle. They either had some kind of, you know,
they pulled off. It was late in the evening, and honestly, I think the speech dragged a little bit. I mean, this is part of it is just media saturation. I mean, Dan, what was your? I mean, do we have a bite from Michael Flynn? I mean, I thought he made some good points. Let's play one. I think, in fairness here, let's play one. But it got later in the day. Here it is.
America should not fear our enemies. In fact, we should clearly define our enemies, face them head on, and then defeat those that seek to threaten our country and our way of life.
So, Dan, what was your reaction? I mean, the speech was fine, but it was late in the day. I mean, networks pull away.
I thought what he said was pretty good, Jay. I don't think he delivered it as well as sometimes he does. You know, honestly, I thought Joni Ernst in that spot very late was probably much better. Yep. But you know what? The honest truth is it happened so late in the day that very few people were watching either one of them. I would just say quickly to the caller, I'm pretty sure if your TV moves away, you can watch it online as well. So be aware of that.
Yeah, you can watch it online. But yeah, that's truth. I mean, the look at the booking order. Sorry, after Melania Trump, which is really the headliner, the main event, the networks have to move on to something else because of ratings. So,
yeah, I mean,
you can't assume, sadly, that Flynn's getting ratings. You're right. C-SPAN's covering it. Other people are covering the thing in its entirety.
And you can get it online.
You can see Scott Baio. You can see everybody. If you watch on one of those networks, you get it online. I watched some of it online last night. But you can't blame them somewhat, because the immediate thing people wanted was the reaction to Melania Trump. That's why everyone was there last night.
Tonight is a big family night. You know, I mean, you've got the Republican heavyweights tonight, which is important because their tone is going to be quite different, I have a feeling, like Paul Ryan, Kevin McCarthy. But then you're going to hear from Governor Chris Christie, a big Trump supporter. Then Trump's children, Tiffany Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Senator Capito from West Virginia.
Yep.
And Dr. Ben Carson. I'm not exactly sure, based off this schedule, who is the headliner of
we know, Will?
Tonight.
According to the press, I mean, they're mainly talking about the kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I guess
sadly, Dr. Carson may be the one who's.
Maybe Chris Christie and the kid. I think Chris Christie is probably on the politician side. He's the heavyweight speaker tonight. He's the one who's going to be delivering the message directly.
All right, we'll take another call here.
Yep, Daniel's calling from Chandler, Arizona. If you want to be on the air, we just cleared out all the lines after Daniel for you guys. So the lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Daniel, you are on the air.
Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Jay. How are you doing?
Thanks.
All right, sir. Well, I work MDS Communications. I am a fundraiser for you, sir. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that you're doing for this country.
Thank you.
And for the persecution and everything that's going on, sir. And I'm happy to do the work that I do because
we're glad you're helping us communicate our message. And I appreciate you calling in. And the message you just mentioned is that we've got right now out, we're in the middle of a matching challenge, but we have out work on our genocide issue. And I will tell you, I was with Than yesterday. And our team there, and then you know, we really laid out a strategic plan both on the genocide issue, but also on the issue involving Israel at the UN, which is going to be very busy for us in October and November.
Yeah, and on both those issues, Jay, it's such a critical time because we really need to lay out in advance what the next president has to do. And honestly, I know you showed it earlier, but this platform speaks to both of these issues in a way that can bind the next president. Very good language in both of them. And I would just add one thing on the issue of genocide and the FOIA request that we have out. We want to know exactly what this State Department is doing for a very specific reason. There are refugees of this genocide, Jay, that need U.S. protection, and the United States has an obligation to provide that. We've got to know what's happening right now so the next president can do a much, much better job.
Advancing human rights under the platform of the Republican Party. To those who stand in the darkness of tyranny, America has always been a beacon of hope, and it must remain. Radical Islamic terrorism poses an existential threat to personal freedom and peace around the world. We oppose its brutal assault on all human beings, and all of whom have inherent dignity. All human beings have the inherent dignity. That's a very focused. If you look at the platform, this is just part of it, obviously, but really focused on this, the reality. If you look from 4 years ago to now on the Islamic threat, we only got 30 seconds here, Jordan. It's a dramatic difference.
Yeah, and that is because you have to deal with the threat that we're facing now. And so it's not just a threat in Syria and Iraq or Al-Qaeda trying to carry out these massive attacks on huge scale, which were, I think, honestly, a little easier to combat. In a security standpoint, because of the scale of the attacks they tried to attempt,
more stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just to take a scale on these attacks, it takes one superly crazed individual who's ready to die for it, and some kind of weaponry, and that can be a truck, it can be an axe, it can be an assault weapon.
All right, next segment we're taking all the calls that come in. If you get through the screening process, so again, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. All lines open right now.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. Engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Taking your calls. Last segment here, so we'll take your calls if you get through the screening process, and I'm sure you will. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We want your impressions, your kind of final thoughts in this last segment of the broadcast about the convention last night. Emotional at times with victims from Benghazi, soldiers. Rudy Giuliani gave a rousing speech. Melania Trump's speech was very well received. Then we had a little bit of that controversy afterwards. Again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Go ahead.
Go to Sheila, who's calling from Alexandria, Virginia. You're on the air.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Before I make my point, I wanted to say that Mrs. Trump's speech, I thought, was wonderful. It was quite refreshing. The reason I'm calling is because I think we're missing the ball here about Trump's entrance, Donald Trump's entrance, yep, to introduce his wife. I think it's a parody or a mockery of how I think it was CNN who showed Hillary bathed in this golden yellow light.
Oh, yeah.
When they named her presumptive. And it was like she
Oh,
was
do you remember when President Obama came out to the Roman Coliseum? Everybody's forgetting this. I mean, like, this isn't theater. This is theater.
Yeah, I mean, right. What President Obama did, I think, was on a level that
no one's touched.
If Donald Trump did, he would be mocked. I mean,
yeah.
And no one has touched. Also, I would just point out that whatever you'd like to say about Donald Trump or Melania Trump, it will be Bill Clinton, who has had so much scandal,
yeah,
and Hillary Clinton, who, yes, stood by him, but has had to defend that as well on this campaign. I just think that there are some similarities in celebrity here because the Clintons have been in the news so much, but they're not the celebrities like Donald Trump or Melania, you know, former supermodels on that side.
Right.
But all in all, you get through night one, you move on. And this is not going to be the focus 24 hours from now,
yeah,
or 48
this
hours
is not
from
the,
now.
This is not the thing that's coming out of the campaign, out of the convention that everyone
no.
will be talking about. This
no.
is what we're talking about today because there's nothing else to
I
talk
mean, ask
about.
Ask yourself this. Did you remember Michelle Obama's great speech that everybody said was so great
eight
years ago?
Yeah, until someone dug it up.
Do you remember Laura Bush's speech? I mean, I knew that they were good enough. They got through. They got their message out. Boom, done. They are not on the ballot.
Right.
The speeches that matter are the people that are going to be advising. And I think you look at last night, Rudy Giuliani, Flynn, probably, you know, tonight it'll be Chris Christie. Ultimately, people like Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
These are the individuals that Donald Trump has surrounded himself with. Obviously, Mike Pence later on in the week.
Right.
That's the people you really want to pay attention to. If they were the ones lifting their speeches, much bigger issue.
Well, that's true.
Because they are going to be, as Donald Trump has kind of indicated, top advisors, part of his cabinet.
But part of this also is with the media cycle now is, I will get Thane on this
and
comment
I don't
too.
They particularly, anything they can do to hurt Melania Trump and go after her, the Clinton campaign is going to do.
Of course they are. But the reality is, though, part of this is theater. I mean, you're attracting numbers. I mean, this
Absolutely.
Is a number thing.
Politics is theater. It's always been. It's always been part of it. Yes, there are obviously real-world applications that come out of it, but in general, you are there to somewhat entertain. People forget the word convention is in Republican National. It's a Republican National Convention this weekend. Think about any convention you've ever attended, whether it's, you know, you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a comic book fan. You go there, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of announcements, big things, lots of fun. Everyone's there is excited. The crowd can get a little wild and get a little crazy because it's a group of people that are excited to be in the room together. They want that. They want the big Trump entrance.
Right.
They're not sitting there.
I mean, that's right.
Yeah, I've sat through a couple of Republican National Conventions, and none were as entertaining as something like that. Yeah. So I see where they're coming from.
Yep.
Remember, we're going to get into the policy stage of this when they have their debates,
right,
where you get the back and forth.
Right.
This is not about having a big policy discussion. No one would watch that.
Right.
This is about the broad platitudes, which Donald Trump is very good at, and these other professional political speakers are also very good at laying out. I mean, if they try to get too specific, that is not what the networks – that's not – because remember – though you listening and watching right now, you pay close attention to politics. You've been watching this race throughout. Most Americans, that may have been the first time they even saw Melania Trump last night. And guess what they're not watching? The morning shows that today, talking about Melania Trump in the speech. All they saw last night, and that's what we have to remember, is her five-minute speech.
Yep.
And they said, oh, that was pretty good, and they move on. They are not living their life dwelling on what words came from that.
Yep.
We may be in our little world and your world that you're out there because you follow the news so closely.
But not
but most people
else.
Don't turn on the news. They turn on their local news in the morning, and they head to work.
So let me ask, let's go ahead and take a call. I got something to say.
All right, let's go to Patrice, who's calling from California.
Hi, Patrice.
Hi, thank you, and God bless you for all your work.
Thanks.
I just find it so actually amusing and appalling that so much airtime is given to a supposed plagiarism by the networks, but nothing was given to Hillary Clinton lying under oath.
Well, this is the great double standard of the media. Now, I think it'll be interesting. Because if this, in fact, was lifted from Michelle Obama's speech and some staffer did that, my answer to that is, okay, something should happen to that staff person. But to discredit the speech, or what, who cares? Hillary Clinton, if you're going to compare it, they're not even in the same zone of comparison. Now, Than, here's the question I've got for you. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. Is the Republican Party, in your view, starting to coalesce here? Or is there still a pretty...
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay.
Honestly, I think the selection of Governor Pence did a lot to do that. Now, Jordan mentioned this a little bit ago, but we're going to see a little bit more of that tonight. You've got House and Senate leadership, both Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and Kevin McCarthy all coming to deliver speeches. Who knows if there will be an endorsement or not. There was some flap yesterday about Governor Kasich skipping the convention. But by and large, Jay, I think most of the elected officials are coming around. And you know, just quickly, Logan alluded to the pomp and circumstance. Just wait until next week when Hillary Clinton accepts the nomination for the Democrat Party. The pomp and circumstance you saw last night with Donald Trump's entry, it's going to pale in comparison to what you see next week.
I would say that these individuals who are not showing up at the convention, honestly, I tend to agree, and I haven't always agreed with Paul Manafort from the Trump campaign, but I think John Kasich does look pretty foolish in his home state. For instance, the mayor of Cleveland, who is a Democrat, opened up the convention yesterday welcoming the Republicans to town because it's a big economic boom for Cleveland to have the convention. He was there. So even if you were a Democrat, you would likely be, if you were a state leader like that, because of the economic positives this brings to your city. You get to put your state on review. You don't have to agree with Donald Trump on everything. And by the way, John Kasich was one who was always kind of back and forth on whether he liked Donald Trump
never would really say
or not. I think
trying to get that VP
that's
slot.
Very bizarre.
Exactly.
And the others who aren't attending – it won't matter because what matters out of this is Donald Trump's speech.
All right. I do like the John Kasich his statement. Donald Trump's statement about it was he lost so bad I wouldn't show up either if I got beat so bad.
Yeah, he's embarrassed to show up.
Let's go to Andy.
All right, Andy, you're the last call of the day. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi, Andy. Oh wow, what an opportunity. Jay, a retired elected official from North Carolina, now in Missouri.
Great, sir.
Great, yes, and I'm trying to really see we're all growing in this. The DNC has yet to have their convention, and let's wait and see what's going to happen. There's a lot of opportunity here to stay above them.
Here's the issue, Andy. We're going to cover the platform of the Democratic Party next week as well. Tomorrow I want to focus on some of the domestic issues. I'm going to ask our team to look at the jobs issue, but also some of the major, like the issue of abortion, see where the platforms are forming there. We'll do the same thing on the DNC side. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, folks, we're more than halfway through our July monthly, our matching challenge for the month of July. We could really use your help at aclj.org. And, Logan, a lot of ways for people to engage the broadcast.
All right, get the show archived later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast or on the ACLJ app on Apple devices. That's iPhones, iPads, and now on Apple TV, where you can even watch this broadcast each and every day. All our movies, everything available there is for free on Apple TV and Roku.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ